Ms. Sharpbrow, if you were in control of a movement and can go back and change some things, what would you change?
I think that with any organization of that magnitude, you are going to have infighting. And there were a lot of problems with those kinds of things because you had the SCLC and then you had the NAACP and all of those organizations and Operation Breadbasket and the Muslim movement. So you had all of those different factions that were vying for center stage or for attention. And I guess if I were able, not that I'm not saying that one was any better than the other, because I think that choice is important. But if I had to go back and change, or if I could do anything to improve, I think that I would have made it a more cohesive group, and I would have done away with the ambiguity, I guess, in leadership.
Okay. During the Civil Rights Movement, did you or any other family members or close friends go to jail?
I did not, but my niece went to jail, and that was a fighting experience. I was downtown when they were marching, and they had all the water hoses and the dogs and things barking. I think that was probably by far one of the most humiliating experiences I have seen, and every time I see that film, the little catches on television right now, it takes me back to that point in time to think that man could have been that inhumane to people. But it was all scare tactics, and it was all a part of trying to, and I guess a fear too, a fear of change. But yes, I had lots of close friends and relatives that did go to jail.
Okay. What is your assessment of the Birmingham movement? How successful, and what was its accomplishments, and what do you think the failures were?
I think the Birmingham movement was probably one of the stronger ones in the South, especially with Dr. King being arrested here and his letter from the Birmingham jail, which was really instrumental in beginning of change here in the city. Birmingham certainly had its share as a hub of activities for Montgomery and Selma and all of those places. So I think that we were certainly involved, or you know, a pretty good. It was a real crazy thing. And I guess my mind is running, and I missed the end of your question. So would you repeat the end of it?
What do you think the failures of the Birmingham movement, you know, and the accomplishments and failures of the Birmingham movement?
Well, I still think that the failures would probably still what I said in it just a little while ago, and that would be with the leadership and people moving in different directions, because Shuttlesworth was Reverend Shuttlesworth, who had a church in Collegeville, was certainly one of the major leaders within the movement. And then you had others like Abraham Woods and all of those people that were involved, and you had a lot of friction between who was going to share the spotlight. So I think that had a lot to do with what was going on. But basically, when it came down to getting done what needed to be done, Dr. King was here, and then his brother A.D. Had pastored the church in Inslee, which was a big church, and he was here there, so we had connections on that end also. So I think Birmingham did a good job within that time.
What about John F. Kennedy? What do you think his role in the Civil Rights Movement was?
I think President Kennedy and his brother Bobby were really thrust in the middle. Looking back now as a middle-aged adult, I think they had a lot of responsibilities thrust on them, because to see into all of the things that were going on within the United States, and almost to the point where it looked like it was going to be another civil war, where the people were just being so inhumane to people, and to see all of these things going on. And I feel as if the assassination of President Kennedy did a lot for the legislation that was passed, the Voting Rights Act, because President Johnson, after Kennedy died, Kennedy had been fighting for a lot of these things in Congress, and the people were dragging their feet. But after his assassination, then President Johnson was able to just push so much of the legislation through, and it certainly did do well for blacks during that time, and the affirmative action that we're having problems with right now, and the voting rights amendments, all of those things that were done at that time, I think all of those had were directly related to President Kennedy having started those things. But then I think President Johnson was just awfully strong and an awfully good man to be able to push those things through in order to try to heal this country, to bring it back together, because it was a terrible time.
At any time, do you think that there was any black leaders such as Malcolm X who made a benefit in the civil rights movement?
Yes, you hit Malcolm X and I can't think of that other guy's name. I cannot think of his name to save my soul. It'll probably come to me in just a few minutes. Malcolm X's philosophy was so different from Dr. King's. And Dr. King's philosophy for most blacks was a philosophy that they could live with because it was steeped in Christianity. And blacks had always been taught to be nonviolent. And that's why that movement could mushroom and could draw as many people to it, because of Dr. King's nonviolent philosophy. But with Malcolm X, his was so foreign to what we had been taught and what we were able to accept in the 60s, because we knew nothing about Islam and we knew nothing about Allah and we knew nothing about all of these things that he was saying. And to be quite frank with you, I was not a follower of Malcolm X.
During the integration, how hard was it for you to adjust from a segregated lifestyle to an integrated workforce?
That was different. I had taught in a black school for 4 years, and during that time they were integrating all of the Birmingham City schools. And I was a young teacher, so I had no say as to where I was going and where I would not go. I was sent to going school, which was a totally white school. And I was one of four black teachers that was sent to that school. I never doubted my capabilities, because I always knew that I was a good teacher. But there were so many things that were different, and that took some getting used to, because in black schools, for example, teachers had always called each other by their last names. I was Yabro, and they were Hicks, and they were Smith, and that was how we referred to each other. And in the white community, that was insulting, when you would call a kid by his last name. And the kids were not called by their given names. They were called by their nicknames. He was Billy Bob, or he was John Boy, or she liked to be called Sue Jane, you know, whatever. But it was so different from my culture. So that was a learning experience for me, because you insulted somebody and you didn't even know that you were insulting them. So, and I'm sure they did the same kinds of things because those parents and those people were trying, and they were trying to assimilate too, because they had already had their preconceived ideas as to how blacks were and what blacks were supposed to do. So it was a real strange feeling. I had this one parent whose name was Wallace, and she was bound and determined when I stepped foot into that school that I knew absolutely nothing because I had a black face. She called my supervisor every other day with some complaint as to what was going on in that classroom. But she finally settled in, and we finally ended up having a good school year. And I learned a lot of things from those first few years teaching in an integrated situation that really helped me through the years, because I learned how to give and take, and I had to learn how to listen. I had to learn, because it was important to me. It was important to me to do a good job. So it was important to me to listen to the students that I had so that I could learn about their cultures, and so that I would not do anything to insult them, and by the same token to begin to share a part of who I was with them so that their perceptions of blacks, because everything was still just in an upheaval, their perception of blacks would change. And I have hired two of those kids that were in my beginning classes at Going, and I moved from Going to Wright School. I have hired a couple of those girls as teachers now in my school, so I am really thrilled. I am really thrilled about that. That makes me feel really good.
At the time when you were first assigned to these integrated jobs, how did the children react to you?
I had absolutely no problems with the children. The problems were always the parents. And the parents... the parents antagonizing, I guess would say, was most times not very overt. It was subtle, and they would maybe complain to the principal, but then it didn't get too far. I can remember one time I had this little boy, this little bitty boy, and he was in my second grade class, and I had just had a baby, and he was just whining, and he was crying, and he was doing all these things. And I told him, I said, listen, if you cannot stop all of that whining and crying, then I am going to bring you my baby's pacifier, and you can just have that. Well, I didn't think anything about it. I was just telling him to, in other words, I was telling him to get his act together. But his mother was so insulted that I was going to bring a pacifier for her son. And I told her, I said, well, I'm really sorry, because I certainly didn't mean to insult him. I said, but he was just acting like a baby, and I wanted him to cut it out. So I guess the thing that I thought about was my baby that I had at home. And when he was crying and acting up, then I would stick a pacifier in his mouth. But you learned. You learned. And you appeased each other, and you went on. But it was interesting. It was certainly interesting. It was never boring, never.
Now, do you feel that Black History Month is necessary in our society today to recognize?
I certainly do. I feel that if you do not know your history, then you have no basis from where you're going. You have to know what went on. I think this is a wonderful experience, because you hear firsthand of the apprehension, the fear. You should be able to hear that as I relay it to you. And that's important, because you need to know and you need to understand that there is never a time that you can be complacent in this life. You have to go for whatever it is that you want. You have to go at it, and you have to have that kind of attitude that if these people could go through this kind of struggle, and they could be killed, and they could be washed down with hoses, they could be bitten by dogs, they could be thrown in jail, they could do all of these things, then it is most certainly important for me to understand that I can achieve whatever it is that I want to achieve.